Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John writes of a revelation. He writes of a revelation of an angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth. And the angel said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of judgment has come." Now you might be thinking to yourself, that doesn't sound much like gospel, but it is. To be sure, for the one who rejects God's offer of mercy, for the one who chooses to indulge in the things of the flesh, for the one who rejects Jesus as Lord and Savior, the day of judgment will be an eternally bad day. But in the days of John's revelation to the church at Asia Minor, and indeed to all the faithful, those who suffer at the hands of evil people, for the faithful who suffer sickness and loss, these words are certainly good news, for they speak of the end of sorrow. But thus far, on this 27th day of October in the year of our Lord 2024, thus far, the hour of judgment, as proclaimed by that angel, has not yet come. So until that hour does come, there's much to do. For as we sang at the beginning of worship, hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us. We tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. That's not just word pictures. If you've ever seen the brokenness around us, you'll know that that's not just a word picture. The hymn goes on, "Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle we'll engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. One little word subdues the devil." And that one little word is Jesus. "For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God." That's right. Good job. He's up here talking along with me. But what if that one little word was no longer spoken? What if the name of Jesus was no longer spoken? What if that one little word, the only word that can subdue the devil, what if that word was hidden or lost? What might the world become? Today we remind ourselves of the reality of these things. Today we remind ourselves that the enemy, the devil, and those who serve him cannot win the day. For Jesus died on a cross. Jesus rose from the dead. His kingdom is yours forever. That's right. His kingdom is yours forever. Today, as in every day, our readings are about hope. Today we remind one another and ourselves that our hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. But have you ever considered, I asked the kids this earlier, have you ever considered how you came to believe these things? Have you ever considered who it was who took all the time and went to all the trouble to tell you about Jesus? Maybe getting you up early and getting you to church or to Sunday school even when you didn't want to go. Have you considered what your life might be like if they had not or could not? These things are why this day we speak of Reformation. These things are why we adorn our sanctuary in red. These things should be the fire in our belly until the day we die, that the generations to come may hear and believe that God cares enough about them to send his only begotten Son to die on a cross for them. What does that word Reformation mean to you? The basic dictionary definition of the word Reformation is to form something anew. My 1958 college dictionary's got a list of definitions about that long, really little print, about different meanings of what that word Reformation means, depending on the context in which it's used. But then it summarizes all those definitions up with three words. Reformation means improvement. Reformation means betterment. Reformation means correction. That word reformation reminds us that we are stewards of God's word. We are reminded that as stewards of God's word, he has entrusted his message of hope to us to take it out into the world, that the world may know that forgiveness of sins is free. Cost him dearly, and he gladly paid that price. But forgiveness of sins is God's gift to us, and it is free. And that forgiveness begins and ends with Jesus. The Bible is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John 20. But how will others know? How will others know that these words are for them? What might this world become if God's word of forgiveness went silent? Jesus said to some Jews who had followed him in our gospel reading today, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They liked some of the things that Jesus did, but some of the things that Jesus said were countercultural. How dare Jesus say, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin? Who is he to call something a sin? But here's the thing. Sins don't make one a sinner. Rather, sin proves that one is a sinner. And we all fall into that, don't we? And all are in need of being set free. By the way, through faith in Jesus, you have been set free. Just want to make sure that you know that. You have been set free. After the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, and before rebirth through faith in Jesus, before one is reborn, between that huge gap, there's not a spark of spiritual power in humans with which one can prepare themselves for the grace of God or to accept God's grace, as we kind of toss that word around. Nor do humans have the ability on the basis of their own power to help or to affect or to act or to cooperate in the slightest way in their own conversion, their own coming to faith. Just as a slave cannot free himself from a taskmaster, so also everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin and is a prisoner of the devil and is driven by him. And so those who had followed Jesus would be driven to kill him, charging that they had never been slaves to anyone. And yet even as they spoke of these things, they were in fact subject to Roman rule. But just as their ignorance about being subjects to Rome didn't change the fact that they were subjects to Rome, so also their ignorance about their being slaves to sin didn't change the fact that they were slaves to sin. And so our readings serve two purposes, a double purpose, if you will. For those who abide in Jesus, our readings are intended to offer hope and encouragement to keep on abiding in God's word. But to those who put their trust in themselves, or those who change or ignore God's word, our readings are a call to repentance while there's still time. But how will they know that God is for them unless someone tells them? How will those who fear God without hope, can you imagine fearing God and not have any idea of hope in Jesus? How scary that must be. How will those who fear God in that way come to say with us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Today we were reminded that God is not a taskmaster. He is not. On the contrary, he sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross so that knowing that truth, any and every sinner can be saved, can be freed from slavery to sin. That is the hope that Jesus offered to those who followed but then turned away. That's the hope of the Christians who suffered in Asia Minor at the hand of a tyrant king. That's the hope that St. Paul proclaimed at Rome, and that's our hope for the future. St. Paul wrote of hope as he spoke of Abraham. As I studied, the word of hope just kept right there in my face. I thought, well, I'm going to look at our readings and see how many times hope is listed interesting thing. St. John, he talks about hope one time, and he talks about misplaced hope. He talks about how there are those who are hoping in Moses rather than Christ. And by far, it was Paul in his letter to Rome that he spoke the most. So here's some of that. Paul wrote of hope when he spoke about Abraham, saying that when all hope as a human possibility failed, Abraham placed his hope in God. Paul also wrote of your new relationship, saying that once we were enemies of God, but now you are at peace with God. You are at peace with God through faith in Jesus. He wrote that hope doesn't disappoint us. That hope will not be disappointed. He wrote in Romans 8 saying that we have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is, salvation of our souls, adoption as sons and daughters. You are sons and daughters of the Lord right now, right where you sit. And he also speaks of the hope of the redemption of our physical bodies. You ever have a day where it feels like your physical body is just kind of letting you down? There will be a time when that will be no more. In this hope, we are saved. For our hope is set on him who died on a cross and rose from the dead. And his name is Jesus. We're all painfully aware that affliction is a frequent experience in this world. So St. Paul calls us to patience. He calls us to joyful hope. He calls us to trusting prayer. And so we sang a little bit ago, saying, when we know not what to say, and our wounded souls are pleading, may our spirits night and day groan within us. I'm going to back that up because I said that wrong. May the Lord's Spirit night and day groan within us, interceding. Ever have one of those times when you don't know what to pray? I find myself just rattling on. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And we'll stop this, start that. Lord, just help. I don't know what to say. Just help. And with groanings too deep for words, God's Holy Spirit translates that into what you need. Didn't know that's what that song was about, did you? I didn't either. Some have said that it is time again for reformation in the church. And what is that? Except that the things that we endure in this life, we'd be encouraged by God's grace. What is reformation except to proclaim the undeserved favor and love of God? Did you know Jesus loves you? What is reformation except his promises made through Christ Jesus that sinners are forgiven and saved? What is reformation except that God's word is God's word? And at times, God's word calls sin a sin while declaring sinners redeemed. And so our closing hymn proclaims, look unto him, ye nations, own your God, ye fallen race. Look and be saved through faith alone, be justified by grace. See all your sins on Jesus laid. The Lamb of God was slain. His soul was once an offering made for every soul of man. And so as St. Paul proclaimed in his letter to the church at Rome, so also I proclaim to you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. For in Christ Jesus you have been formed anew, and you are free indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.